Mace Vingen and Donick 1025. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful start to your Wednesday, a nice day in our fair city. Right before the show, Derek Mason learned a new word.
Yeah.
Tendy.
Yeah. Tendies. And listen, I'm born in 74. And, you know, hey, listen, I was born in 74, but I can reach even further back because of the way I was brought up, you know, music and culture and all that other stuff. But, you know, back in my day, when I was growing up, you know, around 18, 15, 14, somewhere around, I don't know. When somebody came up to me and said, man, you know, did you see though? I'm going to get some tendies. Or did you see those tendies? I'm thinking about, hey, tenderonis, you know. New Edition, Bobby Brown,
Bobby
tenderonis,
Brown.
Ladies.
Michael Jackson, PYT.
Exactly. I'm thinking, okay, you got your nice little tenderoni, okay.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
But that's not what they're talking about, Willie. This new group of individuals, this new group of humans, as I would say, they have broken down tendies. They're really chicken tenders.
The kids and call them tendies.
They have taken chicken tenders and they have taken it and narrowed it down or windowed it down to tendies. That's unbelievable.
Willie,
that
were you?
That is unbelievable.
Were you familiar with the term tendies before we just talked about it?
I, on both fronts, yes. Old school and new school.
So you knew about the new school tendies?
I'd heard of it, yeah. I'm with you. I, you know, gravitate towards the first.
Let me take off my glass. I'm sitting here with my glass on.
David is enjoying totally some forgot. Chicken tenders. And I said, oh, you got some tendies. And Derek Mason's like, where are the ladies at?
I'm like, man, listen. When you say tendies, it's like you're thinking tenderonis, you know.
The antennae go up.
Yeah, it's like tenderonis, man. I got you a nice little tenderoni, okay. I even told my son that one day. I said, so you going to, you know, meet a little tenderoni?
Yeah.
We're like, what are you talking about, man?
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, remember Bobby Brown had the big album. When he went solo?
Yes.
And one of the songs, Roni.
Yes. Tenderoni.
As in tenderoni, yes. It took me a little bit to figure that out, you know. So it's a little slow back then, but I got there.
So I guess we did it too. We shortened the word.
I thought, hey, this is a girl. What's her name? Her name is Roni. No, we were talking about
tenderoni. Yeah. Tenderoni. Truth about a Roni. Sweet little girl.
That's right.
Look, my goal.
That very much predates the tendies.
Nice
yes. Look,
tie.
My goal is for
I'd say
somebody to learn
hip.
Something.
The old school is more hip in this case.
I mean, I don't call them tendies. I'm too old for that.
Yeah, I just say chicken tenders.
But my goal every day is for somebody to learn something. So Derek Mason learned something even before the show started. So I'm feeling great.
Yes.
I'm feeling great. And I actually did want to start the show on a heartwarming note. The Predators were back at practice today. We will discuss the Predators during the 4 o'clock hour, but the Predators were back at practice today. And UC Soros unveiled a special Hockey Fights Cancer mask, which honors four members of the Predators family who have been affected by cancer. There's Craig Partner Baugh, the beloved longtime dressing room attendant, Sheila Crisp, the wife of Terry Crisp, Lexi Rogers, the daughter of Pete Rogers, the head equipment manager, and Aaron Donick. And I saw that, and I saw the portrait of Aaron on UC Soros' mask, and Willie, it gave me all the feels. I can only imagine how you felt when you saw it for the first time.
I saw it this morning. UC was wearing it this morning at practice. I had seen the mask in its making. Mm-hmm. I had a sneak preview of it while the team was on the road here recently. Pete Rogers was nice enough to call me back and show it to me. I still don't know if I've found the right words to express what a gesture that was from UC. You know, it was his idea. You know, he came up with it all on his own. It's not like the organization went to him or anything like that. He went to Pete Rogers, said, this is what I would like to do. I got a text from UC. It was funny, Derek. Mm-hmm. I got a text late in the summer, you know, maybe a couple weeks before training camp, and he said, Willie, this is UC.
UC who?
Okay. And I was like, okay. I had never gotten a text from him before, obviously. I've known him since he was 20 years old, right? He came up as a very young man in the system. But he texted and said, this is what I would like to do. I'm so sorry to hear about Aaron. I had not seen him since Aaron passed in July. But, of course, it took me 1 second to say, what an unbelievable idea. And if you know UC at all, you know he is not about himself in the least. He doesn't, you know, English is his second language. He speaks great English, but he is not an outgoing guy that is ready to get into long conversations. But you can see into a guy's heart, you know? And so it's amazing what he's doing. And so I really hope it's a special atmosphere on Saturday. I know it will be. And you root for a guy like that. That's all I can say. It's awesome.
So I thought we should start the show on that note because there's been a lot of negativity around Nashville sports lately, and understandably so. But it was an incredible gesture by UC Soros to honor Aaron, who he missed deeply every single day, as well as others in the Predators organization who have been affected by cancer, on his mask, which he will wear on Saturday. So here's the question I want to ask about the latest college football playoff rankings. What should we complain about this week? Because there's always something to complain about. Vanderbilt remains at number 14. I wondered how far Alabama was going to drop. Alabama dropped 6 places to number 10 behind Notre Dame at 8-2. We can't complain about brand bias with Alabama and Notre Dame the same way we can with Vanderbilt and Notre Dame. But a lot of people curious about Alabama falling behind Notre Dame. They have identical records, but no one can argue that Alabama has played a tougher schedule. So perhaps we can complain about that. The projected 12-team bracket based on the current rankings: Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, Texas A&M 3, Georgia 4. They would all receive byes into the quarterfinals. The first round matchups: number 12, Tulane, at number 5, Texas Tech; number 9, Notre Dame; at number 8, Oklahoma; number 11, Miami; at number 6, Ole Miss; and number 10, Alabama; at number 7, Oregon. So, Derek, what should we complain about this week when it comes to the CFP rankings?
I mean, the thing for me is, after it's all said and done, one of the, you know, committee members come out and they give their spiel, and each and every time it's just like, man, whatever. Okay, let's wait until next week to see what y'all do. You throw a lot of big words out there, and it doesn't really equate to anything. You know, Vandy, I just keep looking at Vandy. And it's going to, even at 10-2, and this is why, because they're setting it up in a way where Vandy needs to have more happen than I think they should. Outside of them winning the remainder 2 games, which they must do, and I fully understand that, and I know that you try not to, you know, put the cart before the horse, but even at 10-2, they're making it so hard for a Vanderbilt 10-2 to get in. They argued about Indiana's schedule last year, but they still put them in. And they were always ranked. They were never sort of outside the way Vanderbilt is. And their schedule was nowhere near as hard as Vanderbilt last year. But I guess because of all of the hoopla and all this other stuff, they're trying to recorrect themselves. So a team like Vanderbilt, if indeed they do win the remainder of their games, it seems like they need to have more happen in front of them than any other 10-2 team. You know, and I'm talking about the brand teams. That's really what I'm talking about in this situation. And granted, I know they got to win both of their games. And there's not too much that I need to, like within the top 12, that you can complain too much about. I mean, you can – Alabama, okay. But other than that, I just think they're – a 10-2 team like Vanderbilt, they're making it extremely hard for them to crack that top 12.
Heather Dinich of ESPN, Willie, wrote this about Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt jumped ahead of the three-loss Longhorns despite the head-to-head loss at Texas. And, by the way, Texas dropped from 10th to 17th. So I think we can say that Texas is done. We've wondered if the Longhorns...
Do we, though?
Yeah, we don't know. They
beat Texas A&M?
Mm-hmm.
Other
you
things
don't
happen?
Know.
It's not likely, but...
I would say it's more likely than not that Texas is done. We'll get to that in just a second. Here's what Heather Dinich wrote. Vanderbilt jumped ahead of the three-loss Longhorns despite the head-to-head loss to Texas, but remains a long shot for the field as an at-large bid. The Commodores would need to beat Kentucky and Tennessee, plus hope there is some chaos above them. Maybe, if Alabama loses to Auburn in the Iron Bowl, Miami loses to Pitt, and BYU loses to Cincinnati, it can open the door. But clearly, multiple things need to work in their favor.
But multiple things over a two-week stretch will happen. I don't know if what Vanderbilt needs will happen, but of course it all starts with what?
Them winning.
Vanderbilt has to win the two games.
Yes.
I'm not going to say anything to complain until they win the two games. You win the two games, then you're going to want to hear my reaction on the show one way or the other.
Yes.
The Monday after that game, because you know, if you put 10-2 in the SEC in the bank and throw it out there, I would say 8 out of 10 years, at least. This is a new field. We don't know. But I would think 8 out of 10 years, you're going to be in there.
And we're going to assume that Notre Dame is going to be 10-2 because the Fighting Irish only have to play Syracuse and Stanford to close the season.
Crazy stuff happens. Mm-hmm. And it may not be to Notre Dame. There's a lot of teams that have to win out. And there's a lot of teams that have one or two games. That's why we have underdog picks. Stuff happens.
But Heather Dinich is telling you right here that these are the things that need to happen. Like that other stuff. But if Vandy, first and foremost, they got to win their last two games. You win, you lose one of them, then this conversation is mute.
Exactly.
But if indeed the road that we're traveling, they're already telling Vanderbilt, even at 10-2,
good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, good luck. Even at 10-2, good luck.
The only this is the brand bias thing. If Notre Dame were 8-2 with those two games remaining, would it be the same sort of written off unless they get help kind of thing? I don't know. Historically, I think we do know that brand bias is a thing.
If this was UT, would
you can
be
name any
them.
Group yes. of about 30 teams that have been there before, have traditionally had powerhouse teams. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if it would be that simple to say, need some help. Long shot. I don't think so. 10-2 in the SEC. Oh, you know, they haven't beaten ranked. If that were Tennessee, if that were Florida, if that were Alabama, I don't think so.
Notre Dame's best wins this season are USC, Navy, and Pitt, and USC is the only one of those teams that is ranked
Correct.
This week.
Okay, so look, I'm going to save it.
Okay.
You're seeing glitz. Yeah. It's spilling out of me.
It's
Sorry.
It's simmering. It's
Dang
just,
it. I didn't want to do that. Do it.
Steam.
Let's beat Kentucky first. Coach Willie is
no,
coming
No, Coach
back.
Willie, go away.
We don't want Coach Willie now.
Go away,
we
Coach Willie.
I just don't appreciate the, with Vanderbilt, it's a nice story. They need some help, though. It's not going to happen.
Vanderbilt.
They need a lot of help. The teams are ranked at the time, but that doesn't mean anything now.
Let's get 16 teams in there, okay? Let's just ante up to 16, and then everybody can get in, you know? So we're going to have the – but then again, it's still somebody left out.
I'm not
Stuart
one.
Stuart Mandel is really good. He wrote a whole article. I didn't even put Vanderbilt in there. He didn't even put him in there.
You wind,
He's like, oh,
wind him up and let
SEC,
him go.
SEC could get 5. Oh, my gosh. Did I say they might get 6? Holy cow. Vanderbilt not even mentioned. You could put him in there as a courtesy. Good grief. I get it. It's seeping out of me, guys. Sorry.
We feel you, Willie.
They got to win the two games, though. Win
yes,
the two games.
They do have to win the two games. You're right.
It's a moot point if they don't win the two games.
One texter says, in no universe are Utah, BYU, or Notre Dame more deserving with their records. Another texter says, Notre Dame gets credit for two good losses, but Vandy does not get credit for two quality losses.
Hey, that's the way it is. They're telling you right now. That's the way it is. And it's unfortunate, but I think Vandy understands that right now they're not in a position to say anything.
You can't say anything. Yeah, you didn't hear Clark Lee on our show say anything.
So it's just like, man, we play the teams that are on our schedule, and we just got to finish it out. We finish it out the way we know we can. Then that's when, you know, the noise will start. But it can't start until after the UT game.
And all I can say is it can turn. We've seen it. And I will give the example of 1998, the year that Tennessee won it. It really looked like they were going to play UCLA or Kansas State. Mm-hmm. They both lost. I mean, it was so weird. Florida State ended up being the team that Tennessee played for the title. And a lot had to happen for Florida State to get to that game. Mm. And it happened.
But that was on a two-man field back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It was a two-team field. Yeah, but I'm just saying that you can think it's all locked in.
Yeah.
This is what it's going to be. And it turns on a dime with somebody losing that isn't supposed to lose.
I'm not one to leap to the defense of Alabama fans, but I do think Crimson Tide fans have a reason to be angry today about falling behind Notre Dame. They have the same records.
Yes.
But Alabama, a much tougher schedule, a better strength of record. Notre Dame, man. Notre Dame is they're like Teflon. They're like Teflon. Yes. You can't ding Notre Dame because they're Notre Dame, apparently. So I'm not one to be like, Alabama fans, you have a reason to be angry. I do think Alabama fans have a reason to be angry.
I agree. And this is me, the SEC snob, coming out. Sometimes D-Mace and I clash over my SEC snobbery. And I'm not one of these guys. Some people are just Notre Dame, you say Notre Dame, they can't stand Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Like I'm not like that. I appreciate Notre Dame. But from this standpoint, I think it's hard for the SEC, but I deep down believe it's true. Mississippi, pick whoever you think are the worst four teams in the SEC. I will tell you that those teams, I believe, I'm not a football player, I'm not a coach. Let's just say, pick out Auburn, Mississippi State, South Carolina. Name a fourth in
Arkansas.
There. Arkansas. You tell me those four teams aren't capable of beating a top 25 team any week. Like, Florida's not far from that group of four. They beat Texas. Beat them pretty easy when you get down to it. On the right day, like Arizona State went to Mississippi State, which was supposed to be the worst team in the league. They got beat in Starkville. There are no easy games in that league. And you can't have all of the bids. So I understand that. You have to have some national balance. But there's no comparison in the strength of schedule and the strength of record between Alabama and Notre Dame. It's not even close. Am I wrong?
No.
Not even close.
But like Adam said, you know, that gold helmet is laced with Teflon. There's nothing penetrating that. They even made a movie, Rudy. And they make a movie about your school. You are forever in. Like, if you are even close, you're in. But these are the things that
Rudy was offside, by the way.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah, they didn't.
Someone had to say it.
I've never heard that one before.
Go back and watch.
Break the tape down frame by frame?
No, but that's a popular
joke.
Don't
tell my cousin. My cousin loves that movie so much. She is a huge fan. If you tell her that Rudy's offside, we're going to have a fight.
She's going to lose it.
Oh, man.
But no, Notre Dame will always, I believe, that's why Notre Dame chooses to stay independent. Because that brand, and it's not like Notre Dame has had their moment in the desert, but it wasn't long. But usually Notre Dame is that team that's, you know, they're always on television. It's a brand name everywhere. And they're going to continue to stay independent because it helps them in this situation, especially in this field. If they were to get in the SEC, I'm not sure if that Teflon would hold up. In the Big Ten, yeah, probably, but not in the SEC.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the latest CFP rankings. What should we complain about this week? Let us know. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, yesterday, we were discussing the apparently lackluster 2026 quarterback class for the upcoming draft and how that could affect the Titans. Well, earlier today, a prominent NFL draft analyst released his latest mock draft with a mock trade involving the Titans. And I want to discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. One texter says, go Rudy, LOL. He was offside. 615-737-1025. Predators fans, Smashville Live returns tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. See your Predator star players up close and personal and get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests tonight, Ryan O'Reilly and Matt Wood. Ryan O'Reilly and Matt Wood, you can meet them and hear them on Smashville Live. That's tonight at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue and only on 102.5 The Game.
We're going to slow this one down for D-Mace. This one's requested by Derek Mason.
He's my only love, my only heart, baby. Man, that used to go hard.
I'd love to be one of the background singers for this. And I need a big group where you don't hear my voice. I'm just kind of, maybe you don't even turn my mic on very high. Maybe it's on like one.
You but just want to be kind of back
there. I'm just kind of back there with the headset on, just trying to chime in.
Oh, man.
A lot of people in their cars in the mood for loving now.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Believe me.
Nothing wrong with some car love.
Love it every day if you can. Every day.
Just saying. There just saying. Go.
Huh? No, I shouldn't say that.
Anyway, I showed you all the clip during the break of Rudy clearly jumping offside. So Rudy was offside.
I don't know if it's clear.
He flinched.
We
need another. There was a flinch.
There was a flinch.
That's clear.
Yeah.
There was a flinch. Did he get into the neutral zone?
We can't really tell from the camera
down the line. We need a camera down the line.
And my thing is, Rudy didn't have a sack in that game. I don't think he had a sack. I think they made that up.
Oh, in real life.
Yeah, in real life, yeah. I don't think he had a sack. So why did they, if that is indeed the case, why did they lead us to believe that Rudy got a sack?
Hollywood, man. It's Hollywood.
But it was
there's
it was a
lot that
story.
Was wrong in that story.
Yes.
Like Joe Montana has talked about how there's a lot
yes,
wrong.
Yes, and it made it seem like yes. Rudy came out there, the crowd was yelling, Rudy, Rudy. Then they put him in, and he got a sack.
And the jersey scene?
Yeah, that don't happen.
The jersey scene where it's like, Let Rudy have this. Let Rudy take my place.
No, that doesn't happen.
You're an All-American, dude.
That doesn't happen. No,
now, okay, this is a good question from that I wondered. Because you mentioned, David, that Joe Montana, I think, at one point did sort of set the record straight on what was exaggerated, what was real. And he definitely admitted there were some things in the movie that he doesn't recall happening quite like that. Mm-hmm. So if you were on that team in the movie, let's say you had an appreciation for Rudy, would you be the guy that said, "Ah, oh, that didn't happen"?
You damn right I would be. I'm like, it didn't happen that way. Rudy was great, but it didn't happen that way. Like Rudy,
you would go public.
Rudy should come out and go public.
Because you have a choice. Like, oh, it's a good movie. You know,
it's a feel good movie. But I'm saying, if somebody
because Joe Montana,
me,
he took some heat for that.
Yeah,
like,
but
Joe,
if somebody asked me, I wouldn't come out and just like if the conversation wasn't about it and say, y'all know what? Remember that movie, Rudy?
Yeah.
If somebody asked me about it, I'd be like, I would say, well, that I don't recall any of that happening. You know.
Yeah.
Rudy was cool, but the way y'all drew up the story, like Rudy should have made it to the NFL and the Hall of Fame, the way they wrote up that story.
Rudy is 77. There is still time to correct the record.
Exactly. Rudy needs to correct the record. He has it.
There's
at least
still
I
time.
Don't know if he has.
There's still time.
But would you do it, Adam, if you were on the team? Would you say, hey, man, they took some liberties?
Adam would do it. He would. If somebody asked him, he would.
I want the truth.
It depends on how much my royalty check is. Just and being honest.
If you were in on the,
on the take, you might have said, oh, yeah, that happened. I was there.
If you add a couple more zeros to that check, everything in the movie happened exactly.
I heard all those screams.
You would not be talking about how Rudy was offside.
No, I would not.
All proceeds goes to Notre Dame Incorporated. <That's>
Joel, the Notre Dame NIL movement.
Joel on our text line says, I will not stand for any Rudy slander. One texter says, Rudy is not as good a movie as people act like it is.
Ooh, I'm not touching that one.
You know that
I'm
like
not touching it.
You know that I like starting fights in the text line. 615-737-1025. We will get to that. Okay. So yesterday we talked about multiple stories describing the lackluster 2026 quarterback class for the upcoming draft and how that could affect the Titans if the Titans indeed have the number one overall pick. And I don't even need to go to my favorite website, tankathon.com, to tell you that the Titans, of course, are still in position to have the number one overall pick again. And then today, Matt Miller of ESPN.com published his latest 2026 NFL mock draft. And as we talked about yesterday, it's a sad world out there when you're looking at these mock drafts 6 months before the actual draft, but that's where we are in Nashville with the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, I'm curious. I want to see who he has going to the Titans. So I scroll down and I see projected trade. Jets move up to number one overall. The Jets in Matt Miller's mock draft started with the fourth overall pick. So the Jets traded up with the Titans from 4 to 1. Here is what Matt Miller wrote. Quote, armed with 2 first-round picks and an additional second-round pick in 2026, thanks to the deadline trades of Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams, the Jets are moving up to Tennessee's spot at number one in this mock draft. Since the Titans used their 2025 number one pick on Cam Ward, they could be persuaded to move down and accumulate draft capital to build around their young quarterback. In this deal, the Jets would send both of their first-round picks, numbers 4 and 28, and their 2027 second-round pick to the Titans for the top selection. The Jets in this mock draft take Fernando Mendoza with the number one overall pick. But let's just talk about the projected trade for a moment because we were talking about the value of trading up. Mm-hmm. He has the Jets sending 2 first-round picks, numbers 4 and 28, and a second-round pick in 2027 to take the number one overall pick from the Tennessee Titans. Armchair GMs Willie and Derek, if that offer came across your table, numbers 4 and 28 in this year's draft plus a second-round pick in next year's draft, would you take that projected trade from the Jets? Willie, why don't you go first?
I would take the – I hesitate to say that you wouldn't get anything better because that's not the best offer I've ever heard for a first – overall pick, but it just seems like right now, as we talk through this, mm-hmm. where there's not an obvious Andrew Luck or somebody like this at the top of the draft, I think I would take the deal. I would love to have a first next year, but 2 firsts, right? You get 4 and 28, so you get 2 firsts plus a top, maybe top 40 pick next year. I don't know how good the Jets will be next year. I think I would take the deal. And I might take it quick before they change their mind.
Derek, would you take the proposed deal by Matt Miller of ESPN, 2 first-round picks and a second-round pick to move up from 4 to 1 with the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I would. You know, because, one, typically if it's at that number one spot, you want a quarterback. Obviously, Titans don't need a quarterback, but they do need picks. And they do need talent. So that's first and foremost. You're able to accomplish one of your goals, getting so many, you know, top whatever picks in so many years. So this helps facilitate that. This can sort of squash a little bit of what, you know, people felt you didn't do during the trade deadline, which is trade Jeffrey Simmons to get, you know, accumulate more picks. This may squash it just the tad bit, if indeed you can make a deal like that. But then, even further than that, if, you know, you're picking 4, so you still get a top 5 player, And you may end up getting the guy that you want first, and then that pick at 28, this is where it can truly benefit you, because there's always that one team that want to get into late into the first round because their guy, they see maybe he get taken or a guy drops, you know, far in the draft in the first round. They figure, oh, we need to get him right now. So there's a possibility that the Titans can accumulate more picks for that 28th pick in the upcoming draft. So based upon that alone, because you will end up getting multiple picks, but based on that alone, I would take it. I would have originally liked, you know, another second round pick, you know, possibly in 28. But I think this one is, there's nothing wrong with taking a deal like this, I believe.
In Matt Miller's mock draft, he has the Titans taking wide receiver Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State with the 4th overall pick and cornerback Colton Hood out of Tennessee with the 28th overall pick. But to answer my own question, would I take that projected trade? 2 first-round picks this year and a second-round pick next year. Preferably, I would like another high-end pick. I would like one more.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Maybe I would love to get another first-round pick because the Jets are just – they're overflowing with first-round
picks.
But
what did – I'm referencing it to the trade with Chicago and – who was that?
Carolina.
Carolina and Jacksonville last season.
Oh, you're talking about the Travis Hunter?
Yeah, Travis Hunter.
Or the Bryce Young.
The Bryce Young. What did they get in the Bryce Young?
Well,
I think it was the Bryce Young.
But that was a much bigger move up. I believe the Panthers were at 9 when they moved up. So that I'll have to
I
look.
I believe
at,
that's right.
I'll have to look at
but
what that
trade
was.
But what did they get? What I'm saying is I thought they got 2 first. They got 2 second rounds, if I can recall. It was either that one or the Chicago where they got 2 second round picks.
Okay, here's a story from March of 2023. The Bears are trading the number 1 pick in the 2023 draft to the Panthers in exchange for 4 draft picks and DJ Moore. The Bears will receive Carolina's first round selection at number 9, a late second round pick, a 2024 first round selection, and a 2025 second round pick.
See, they end up getting 2 first rounds, but they were not in the same year.
Correct.
And they end up getting 2 second rounders. So based upon that, that's why I said I would have liked another high round pick, as you two suggested as well.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt Miller, in his latest mock draft, simulates a trade between the Titans and the Jets. The Jets move up from 4-1 and give the Titans both of their first round picks, numbers 4 and 28, and a 2027 second round pick. Would you accept that trade if you were Mike Borgonzi in this situation? 615-737-1025. We'll get to your reaction coming up next. 94.9 The Fan is your home for Vanderbilt women's basketball tonight. The Commodores take on Western Kentucky at 6:30. Pregame starts at 6:15. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Gabe Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. One texter said, unrelated to our topic, but we will get to this in the next segment. One texter said, maybe Bill Haslam needs to call loan pronto to get a good rate on the Trotz and Brunette buyouts. We'll get to the Predators at the top of the hour. But the question we have, 615-737-1025. Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, has his latest mock draft out. I'm not sure if this is his first one, but it's his latest one. And he had a projected trade between the Jets and the Titans. The Titans have the number 1 overall pick. The Jets have the 4th. The Jets move up from 4-1 to take Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback out of Indiana, and in the process give up 2 first-round picks in 2026, numbers 4 and 28, plus a 2027 second-round pick to the Titans. So that's 2 first-rounders and a second-rounder to move down from 1 to 4. So our question is, if you were in charge of the Titans, if you were Mike Borgonzi, would you accept that deal or would you want more? Our friend Dustin in Hopkinsville says you can probably take pick number 4 and trade it back as well. I want one more pick though.
I mean, that is a possibility if you're sitting at 4 and you believe that the guy you want will still be there after the fourth pick in the draft, then there is a possibility if someone's trying to move up to get someone else that you can possibly drop 2 to 3 spots. But I think the 28th pick is a spot where that will tend to happen. It's happened at the top two, but I would rely on that 28th pick, saying somebody wants to get up into the first round, late first round, possibly draft their future quarterback in the first, and they feel if they don't move up into the first, then someone's going to get them in the second. So they're willing to, give up a second and possibly even a third for your first round pick, or they may be able to give up or want to give up a little bit more than that. It just depends. But that 28th pick can probably be more so a pick you're going to gain some dividends from.
When it comes to what the Titans should do, I'm clearly on team trade down. I wasn't gung-ho about the Titans drafting Cam Ward at number one overall, but I did support the decision. Willie clearly was on team trade down. He'll tell you that if you ask him.
True.
Mm-hmm. So, Wes in Clarksville. We have so many Wes's. Wes in Clarksville says, we could give Levis another shot, trade Cam and trade first round pick and get lots of help for Levis. I'm only kidding, but wouldn't that be something?
Anytime you throw out anybody's name, mm-hmm. and I think I'm a skeptic on Levis just like everybody else, but Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, the success stories of these guys definitely have opened up the thought of, if you look at how many people have crashed and burned as high first round picks where you went out of your way to go get a guy and you don't get anything close to as special as you want with that high of an investment. And then you couple that with the recent chain of resurgent guys who were high first round picks that were cast aside. You give them a second chance. You don't pay a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones would be front and center. Sam Darnold last year. Those guys, they were Will Levis, kind of. True? On a level?
They were comparable. They were certainly cast off.
Yes.
I mean, they were higher picks. Will Levis wasn't even a first round pick.
Right.
Sam Darnold was absolutely run out of town by the Jets. All like, right. This guy's terrible. Get him out of here. Like,
spent the year as a backup before just going to Minnesota, right. And having
then
a great
season. Then
went
to Carolina, and they didn't even keep him. So, before you cast anybody aside and say, forget about that guy, I do wonder if that changes anybody's thinking on a larger scale.
One texter says, maybe the Titans can get Sonny Weaver Jr. to come work his magic on draft day. Speaking of unrealistic football movies, draft day. You guys have seen draft day, right?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad, it's good.
I want all my
it's so
picks
bad, it's good.
Back.
And David Putney! We need the special teamer.
I just heard it was bad, and so I didn't waste the time. But if you're telling me it's so bad, it's good.
It's so bad.
That's a different class of bad movie.
Yeah. That's a class of movie you got to watch.
Just skip past the parts where Diddy's in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because,
if obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Do I need to spell them out? I can't say them on the air.
I mean, we all know. I wouldn't skip over.
Just fast forward past the Diddy parts, and you'll be okay.
Just let it play out. Just let it play out.
One texter said, this is funny. One texter, Eli, says, I would love to give the Rams or San Francisco a fourth-round pick. They take Cam Ward for a year and then give him back to us.
Hey, if that was –
let the Shanahan,
to...
McVay magic work on Cam Ward for a season and then toss him back out there. I mean, look.
Or we can borrow their coach for a season or two.
The next quarterback in the Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield group is going to be Mac Jones. Mac mm-hmm. Jones backed up Brock Purdy in San Francisco, has started multiple games. Mac Jones is going to be it may not work out the same way as Daniel Jones has worked out in Indianapolis, but Mac Jones is going
the opportunity.
To be, he's going to be that quarterback this offseason.
And probably get paid more than Daniel Jones, just because there might be a little more faith in the bounce back idea. And also, you know, Daniel Jones is about to get paid.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And they'll gladly pay it because he's done it for them.
Lenny on our text line says, draft day was based on a true story. That can't be true, can it?
Was it?
There's
it was
no the, way.
There's
no way.
Lenny, maybe are like, you pulling my chain?
Maybe like a little bit of it, but there's no way. Because there's no NFL GM that said, I'm going to make all these trades, but I want all my picks back. There's no way they said that.
Yeah, one of the GMs in the movie isn't Neil Patrick Harris, but looks a lot like Neil Patrick Harris. And Jennifer Garner's in it, and Terry Crews is in it. And Dennis Leary is in it. It's a very strange movie. It's one of those perfect, like, it's on the plane. You're on an hour and a half flight, and
you watch it,
and you need some really mind-numbing movie to watch for 90 minutes. It's the perfect movie for that. Robert on our text line says, considering what we're doing now with Cam, with everything that they've added, the old line, the receivers, whatever upgrades we did over the offseason, I'd say, well, Levis did pretty damn good with what he had. Look, I mentioned this the other day. This Will Levis revisionist history thing is a really popular talking point on our text line, on social media.
The guy's hurt, too.
The Will Levis thing is over. Will Levis is not going to play another snap for the Tennessee Titans.
Are you sure?
No, he won't. He will not.
You're 100%.
He's 100%
sure. I'm 99.999% sure.
Mac Jones, Daniel Jones.
Unless there's an injury that Cam can't come back from, then no, he won't.
I'm talking about just on the team.
On the team?
As the backup.
No, because they're going to go out there and get another backup. A new coach is going to want a new backup.
But let me throw another name in there. Malik Willis. So we're so sure that Will Levis, who you have under contract, cheap, is a guy that you're risking. We just need to get him out of here. And you look what Malik Willis is going to get, a good contract from somebody. Very good. He came in there again last week and did pretty well. Anytime he's gone in there, he's done well. And you have Mac Jones, you have Daniel Jones, and you're just going to throw Will Levis out and say it's impossible? Okay. I don't know.
Again,
I'm just saying, keep him as a backup. I'm just entertaining the idea.
Keeping him as a backup, you can do it if you're a team, but the player's not. Will Levis wants to be a starter.
He's under contract. He doesn't have a say in it.
I understand this. He can push it. They can push it behind the scenes.
What is he? He's got no leverage.
It doesn't matter.
Push it all you want.
His leverage is he wants to be out here, and his agent will facilitate a trade because there are enough teams out there that need quarterbacks that he's going to be ready to throw pretty soon here, I'm sure. The season's done. And I've said this before, he want to make sure that once free agency come, or that time period of trades and the draft, he's fully healthy. He wants to be a starter in this league. And he's not going to get an opportunity to be a starter in this league here. He can go somewhere else and get an opportunity, but I don't think he's going to get that opportunity here. So why wouldn't the Titans, who need the picks, why wouldn't they?
Okay, but what do you have in mind? What you're going to get from Will Levis?
You never know even if you get a fourth round pick for him, that's good.
A ham sandwich.
Nah, I'd take more than a ham sandwich. Give me a turkey.
They got a
sandwich.
Seventh round pick for Malik Willis, who, and at the time, I was thinking they got something for him.
So they would get a seventh. They could possibly get a fourth or a fifth for.
But aren't you better off just keeping him around, and you never know how it could turn out?
Have the first round pedigree. I know it doesn't mean everything, but Mayfield and Darnold and Mac Jones and Daniel Jones were all high first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Will Levis wasn't.
Right. Malik Willis was a third-round pick.
True. I just think that Levis doesn't have the talent that the other Reclamation Project quarterback
has. You never know. Again, and I said this back when I was like, Will Levis he needs not be the starter for this team again. But I've always said, I'm not saying this kid can't play in this league. He goes somewhere else, He may end up being a starter, but he's not a starter for this team.
And
he has, if those, because the things that they're talking about with Will Levis are things that they've said about a lot of quarterbacks. And some quarterbacks have been reclamation projects, and some quarterbacks just have completely fell off the map. So with Will Levis, it's not going to work here, just like it wasn't going to work with the Jets and Sam Darnold, and it wasn't going to work with Cleveland and Baker Mayfield, no matter how good they could potentially be. It just wasn't going to work out. Will Levis, it just wasn't going to work out here. So him going somewhere else, there may be a market and a high market for him if indeed that time do come this season, this offseason.
When we talked about Will Levis during OTAs, this was before he had the shoulder surgery and missed the season, I said that they should find him a change of scenery to get rid of the distraction. Not that Will Levis himself would be a distraction, not that he would talk crap in the media or anything like that, but just having him on the roster and providing fans with the Will Levis or Cam Ward, get him out of here. It eliminates the distraction. That's the same way I'm feeling right now. Get him out of here. Mm-hmm. It eliminates the distraction. If Cam Ward continues to struggle and Will Levis comes to camp next year and there's a competition, perhaps in name only, it is still a distraction, in my opinion.
But if you had the first overall pick 2 years ago and you have somewhere in the neighborhood of the first pick, how much can you distract? You can't go any lower. So why give away an asset? Now, if D-Mace is right and there is a better market than I think there is, I just wouldn't take a sixth or a seventh round pick. I would hold on to him because crazy things happen. Maybe Cam Ward gets hurt. Maybe Will Levis has to play and plays well, even if it's for 4 or 5 games, and then his trade value goes up. But I think we should be learning that a guy can look really bad, look like he doesn't belong in the league for a while, be a journeyman that has no value, and then all of a sudden be making millions and winning playoff games.
615-737-1025. I did not mean for us to get Will Levis sidetracked there, but we'll take your thoughts on that. And the Tennessee Titans, who are back on the practice field today, they take on one of those former reclamation projects, Sam Darnold and the Seattle Seahawks, on Sunday. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, tomorrow we will talk to Barry Trotz. Coming up next, we will talk about Barry Trotz. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com.